So, well, this is home.
Writer, musician, and urban blogger David Newland lives in one of the most remarkable houses in Toronto. At first glance, though, or even second or third glance, number 203 Hamilton Street in South Riverdale doesn't look so very special. It's a simple, two-story wood frame workers' row house, just 15 feet wide.
One of the only houses left on the street that still has a porch. The neighbor that shared the porch with it was twinned with it. They cut theirs off, so our porch has been kind of tilting sideways for about 20 years, and it's an old, they put the angel stone on in the 60s. It's a little bit tacky, but there it is.
What makes this house truly remarkable is that it was built by David's great-great-grandfather in 1888, and David is the fifth generation of his family to own and live in it. When I joined David one evening on his walk home from his offices near King and Parliament Streets, he told me about his family's deep Riverdale roots.
Part of the neat thing about this journey for me is that this is the walk my grandfather took, right? And so he would start his day in South Riverdale, in this rather ordinary little home, and make his way down, and the vestiges still remain of what he would have been walking through. Some of it has never changed. You know, the Dominion Pub up on the corner, not too far from here, that's been there for over 100 years, and still in the same business. It looks a little classier now than it did back then, I'm sure. But I'm quite sure my grandfather would have stopped in there for a pint when he could afford it and have a smoke and shrug off the day. I get a good feeling about walking through that kind of history.
There's an old man in the pasture. He smokes an old man's pipe. Stops to pull his hanky up, give his face a wipe.
This part we're going through now is the sort of high-end part of Hamilton Street. Big red brick Ontario Gothic houses. Remember walking one time to a Blue Jays game with my dad, and he looked up at one of these and said, I think my first girlfriend lived in that house. We're in the middle of three houses built in a row. They're more or less identical, or were at one time. And the middle one is mine.
And have you been doing some of the work yourself on the house?
Yeah, do you want to come in and have a look? Step on in. What we know is that my grandfather's grandfather was the first one to own it. Somewhere we have a copy of the original deed and the original mortgage, in all handwritten and everything. He was a tuck pointer, so he was like a mason's helper. And what we understand is that he built it, built all three of these houses in a row. The beams meet in the middle of my house. So that sort of shows the way they used to build them. And he had it for a number of years, and he and his wife, and when he died, it went to her. So they built in 1888, but she lived on until the 1940s. When she died, she left it to my grandfather, who had grown up in the house next door. He had it until he died in the early 70s. My dad and my uncle grew up here. My grandmother held on to it till she died in the 80s. My uncle was still living with her and caring for her. He then owned it. And I moved here in 97, really without a dime, and kind of crashed on my uncle's couch as he was renovating the place. And he moved out to Scarborough, and I made up my mind I was going to buy it.
What kind of shape was it in when you took it over?
Well, structurally, it was in pretty good shape. I mean, it had been inhabited the whole time. And thankfully, the front part of the house is on a stone foundation, so it's wobbly. I mean, you could see if you put a marble down anywhere on this floor, it would roll all over the place, but nothing was breaking. I had some serious roof problems. I still have a pretty seriously tilting kitchen that's going to have to be dealt with. What was on the floor throughout here was chipboard covered with vinyl tile, and my uncle had done that just to sort of clean it up. In his time, he had torn out all the old crown moldings and everything like that, which I sort of wish I had back now. But you know, they had years of paint and wallpaper and everything all over them. And if you see the old pictures, it wasn't glorious before that. And I think he just wanted to clean it up and sell it. So.
Woman in the garden with a weary woman's smile stands to stretch her back a bit.
What would you say to your great-great-grandfather now if you could talk to him about the renovation and the discoveries you found?
I'd say I love your square nails. I love the fact that the bones of the thing are still holding it up. I wish you hadn't put it on wooden sills on soil in the back. But thank God the termites have been kind. So, no, I love it. When I pull, you know, my girlfriend, my spouse who lives with me, thinks I'm crazy because I save every square nail I pull out, and even some of the old dimensional 2x4s when I tear out a wall. I can't help it, you know, there's history in that. And I listen to my ancestors in this house as best I can, and I tell them I'm doing the best job I can, trying to keep it in the family, and working hard and trying not to get too attached to the process, but just enjoying it as I go.
How do you feel differently when you get up in the morning here than other places you've lived?
That's the best part. When I walk out the door here, or even when I walk down the halls in this house, I still get flashes and echoes of my childhood memories of running around here as a kid. You know, I sometimes still see the image of my grandmother lying in her bed smoking a cigarette watching the Gong Show. I get these sort of story memories, not from my lifetime, but from the few things that my dad has told me, you know, about falling into the coal chute and breaking his leg, and you know, stealing pop bottles from the back of the store on the corner and bringing them around front to get the change for them from the old guy. The road hockey, the kids used to play road hockey in the street when I was a kid, the shadows of the streetcar lights on the ceiling and the clanging. All those are kind of childhood memories for me, but then I can also map them onto my dad's growing up here. And then imagine, very few stories, but trying to imagine my grandfather and his grandfather on this same street. And living here was the first, I mean, I'm from a small town and I know what it's like to be connected to the land, but I didn't know until I lived here what it's like to be connected to time through family memory. And it's like walking through concentric circles of memory and story and history. And that is something that's incredibly rich. And I really feel for people now who have to leave that, you know, in the old world, places where they've been for 10 generations or 50 generations. How do you live without those echoes? I wonder that about my Vietnamese neighbors, who came here in some cases 30 years ago, maybe having been in a village where they had similar emotions to that, going back 200, 300 years. I don't know how you leave that behind.
In the end, it all comes down to reaping what you sowed in fields along the shelter.
Covering Riverdale for Taking It to the Streets, I'm Peter Stock.